Something even I trust the kids will enjoy, it's story time. We've been looking at the book of Judges, and as if you've been in the adult Sunday school, the book of Judges is not a happy book. But in the middle of the book of Judges, there's a love story. The book of Ruth. Beginning from the Today's New International Version. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Just a pause, and I'll pause on occasion during this story. How many of you women have found rest in the home of your husband? There you go. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who can become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. You know, even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand is turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. And then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara." Now, Naomi means pleasant. And Mara, which is a derivation of Mary, And as you may know, in the New Testament, every fourth woman is named Mary. It means bitter. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. And so, Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Chapter 2 will be from the New Century Version. Now, Naomi had a rich relative named Boaz from Elimelech's family. Remember, Elimelech is her dead husband. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, I'm going to the fields. Maybe someone will be kind enough to let me gather the grain he leaves behind. Naomi said, go, my daughter. Now, for those of you unfamiliar, it is written in the law of the Jews that people, the poor, can glean whatever the harvesters drop. If a harvester is harvesting something, grain, barley, wheat, corn, anything, and they drop something, they're not allowed to pick it up. They're supposed to leave it for the poor who follow after them. And the poor can have that grain for free. So Ruth went to the fields and gathered the grain that the workers cutting the grain had left behind. It just so happened that the field belonged to Boaz from Elimelech's family. Soon, Boaz came from Bethlehem and greeted his workers, the Lord be with you. And the workers answered, may the Lord bless you. And then Boaz asked his servant in charge of the workers, whose girl is that? I wonder how he said that. The servant answered, she is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me follow the workers cutting grain and gather what they leave behind. She came and has remained here from morning until just now. She has stopped only a few moments to rest in the shelter. And then Boaz said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, don't go to gather grain for yourself in another field. Don't even leave this field at all, but continue following closely behind my women workers. Watch to see into which fields they go to cut grain and follow them. I have warned the young men not to bother you. When you are thirsty, you may go and drink from the water jugs that the young men have filled. Then Ruth bowed low with her face to the ground and said to him, I'm not an Israelite. Why have you been so kind to notice me? Boaz answered her, I know about all the help you have given to your mother-in-law after your husband died. You left your father and mother and your own country to come to a nation where you did not know anyone. May the Lord reward you for all you have done. May your wages be paid in full by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for shelter. And Ruth said, I hope I can continue to please you, sir. You have said kind and encouraging words to me, your servant, though I am not one of your servants. At mealtime, Boaz told Ruth, come here and eat some of the bread and dip it in our sauce. Ruth sat down beside the workers. Boaz handed her some roasted grain, and she ate until she was full and even had some food left over. I didn't think Boaz would have had one of those little styrofoam. Must have had something, I don't know. And when Ruth rose and went back to work, Boaz commanded his workers, let her gather even among the piles of cut grain. Don't tell her to go away. No. In fact, drop some of the full heads of grain for her from what you have in your hands and let her gather them. Don't tell her to stop. So Ruth gathered grain in the field until evening, and then she separated the grain from the chaff. She would take the grain, of course, and she'd rub it in her hands until the shell off the grain wasn't. She'd blow off that shell, and then she'd have fresh grain in her hand. She carried the grain. She had a half bushel of barley. A half bushel. Just from people's stuff had dropped. Well, we know it was a good deal more. And she carried the grain into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she'd gathered. Ruth also took out the food that was left over from lunch and gave it to Naomi. And Naomi asked her, "Where did you gather all this grain today? Where did you work? Blessed be whoever noticed you." Ruth told her mother-in-law whose field she had worked in, and she said, "The man I worked with today is named Boaz." Naomi told her daughter-in-law, "The Lord bless him! He continues to be kind to us, both the living and the dead." And then Naomi told Ruth, "Boaz is one of our close relatives who should take care of us." And then Ruth the Moabite said, "Boaz also told me, keep close to my workers until they have finished the whole harvest." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law Ruth, "Yes, it's better for you to continue working with his women workers. If you work in another field, someone might hurt you." Remember, this was the time of the judges. And just about anything goes. And an awful lot did. Be safe. Stay close to his women. If you work in another field, someone could hurt you. So Ruth continued working closely with the workers of Boaz, gathering grain until the barley harvest and the wheat harvest were finished. And she continued to live with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Chapter 3 will be from the God's Word translation. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shouldn't I try to look for a home that will be good for you? Isn't Boaz, whose young women you've been working with, our relative? He'll be separating the barley from the husks on the threshing floor tonight." Now what they did there is they would have all this barley, and then they would take these rakes and beat on them, just like she was rubbing. Well, they would beat on them with huge forks, and then they would throw it up into the wind, and the wind would blow away the chaff, leaving the grain to fall. So he'll be threshing the barley on the threshing floor. And then what they usually did is after they had a pile of grain, they would sleep there because they couldn't take it into the city. They couldn't take it home. So they stayed on the threshing floor and slept there to protect it against thieves. "Freshen up," Naomi said. "Put on some perfume, dress up, and go down to the threshing floor. Don't let Boaz know what you're doing, that you're there until he's finished with his dinner, eating and drinking. When he lies down, notice the place where he's lying. And then uncover his feet and lie down there. He will make it clear what you must do." Is she sneaky or what? Ruth said, "I'll do whatever you say." So Ruth went to the threshing floor, did exactly as her mother-in-law had directed her. Boaz had eaten and drunk to his heart's content. So he went and lay at the edge of the pile of grain. And then Ruth went over to him secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now at midnight, the man was shivering. And when he turned over, he was surprised to see a woman at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. Remember, it's dark. It's not like he's got a flashlight or something. "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me because you are a close relative who can take care of me." Now, let me explain what that means. At these old Jewish weddings, the man would wear a robe, and during the wedding, he would take the robe, a corner of the robe, and put it over his bride's head. Guess who proposed? Boaz replied, "May the Lord bless you, my daughter. This last kindness, that you didn't go after the younger men, whether rich or poor, is better than the first. Now, if Boaz is an upstanding pillar in the community, as it appears he is, he would have to be more than 30 and probably more than 50. And one of the Jewish Mishnahs that I read, Jewish interpretation, said that he was possibly 80. I think that's a stretch. But he was up there. How old was Ruth? Well, when she got married, and when she got married, she was probably in her mid to late teens, because that's when these girls would get married. Mid to late teens. She lived 10 years with her husband in Moab when he died. That puts her, what? Her upper 20s? Younger than 30. So how's that age disparity? He says, you didn't go to a younger man. You stayed with this old geezer. So this last kindness is better than the first. Don't be afraid, my daughter. I will do whatever you say. The whole town knows that you are a woman who has strength of character. And it is true, I am a close relative of yours. This was a day when relatives would take care of each other. Where did those days go? I think they went out with Mayberry. We need to get back there, don't we? It is true that I'm a close relative of yours, but there is a relative closer than I. Stay here tonight. In the morning, if he will agree to take care of you, that is good. He can take care of you. But if he does not wish to take care of you, then I solemnly swear as the Lord lives, I will take care of you myself. Lie down until morning. So Ruth lay at his feet until morning, and then she got up early before anyone could be recognized. And Boaz thought to himself, you know, I hope no one will ever know that this woman came to the threshing floor. It could hurt her reputation. So Boaz told Ruth, stretch out the cape you're wearing and hold it tight. So she held it tight, and he measured out 6 measures of barley. He placed it on her back and went into the town. Ruth returned. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, asked, how did things go, my daughter? Ruth told Naomi everything that the man had done for her, and she said, he gave me these 6 measures of barley and told me not to come back to you empty-handed. Naomi replied, can anyone see the smile on her face? Stay here, my daughter, until you know how it turns out. The man won't rest until he settles this matter today. Boy, did she know men. From the New Living Translation. Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. Town gate is like the courthouse where you did business. Just as the family redeemer he had mentioned came by, Boaz called out to him, come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you. So they sat down together, and Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, now you know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. What is he saying? In the Old Testament law, if a person became poor, they could sell off their land for a period of time, then it would be returned to them. What often would happen and should happen is that close family would buy it to keep the land in the family all the time. This is the way families help one another. So he says, you could buy that land. She's selling it because she needs the cash. I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away because I am next in line to redeem it after you. And the man replied, all right, I'll redeem it. Then Boaz told him, of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family. Oh, the other guy said, then I can't redeem it, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land, I cannot do it. What's that all about? Folks, if you think reading a story like this to you is a simple way to get out of doing a sermon, you're dead wrong. I spent hours on this. When the tribes of Israel settled in the land of Israel, the place was chopped up into various segments, named after each tribe. You've seen that sort of map before, perhaps. I think I've used this very map. And then within the tribes, the land would be divided between the various tribal members. So here we have four guys and their allotments, okay? So here's Elimelech's segment. This is his land. And he was going to give it to his two sons. But of course, they died. Now, let me get rid of these two guys, and this is the other guy. The red is the other guy, okay? Now, I'm going to assume, just for the sake of discussion, let's say he has been married, or is still married, polygamy wasn't a problem, and let's say he has three children, just to throw a number out there. Okay, he's got three kids. Now, what does he do? Well, he divides his land up into four segments, and the firstborn gets two segments. The firstborn gets a double portion. You like that idea, don't you? Okay, so the firstborn gets two segments, and you know, then the subsequent children get the segments afterwards. Now, don't feel bad, because there's a whole lot more land than anyone can farm in those days. And so this is not really a problem. So what is the guy saying? Well, let's suppose the guy marries Ruth and they have a son, which is what's supposed to happen. Now, that son is raised in the name of Elimelech. He gets Elimelech's whole inheritance. But he's also a son of the other guy. So he gets a piece, and now the land is divided up into five segments. The firstborn gets two, but look what happens. Elimelech gets a slot of his inheritance. And he loses some. That's what he says. It'll mar my inheritance. I don't want that. Boaz, if you want to do it, be my guest. By the way, if he has no children, the whole thing would go to Elimelech, the whole shooting match. So you can see why he's concerned. Now, in those days, it was the custom of Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. It was like the handshake, signature on the deed. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal, as he said to Boaz, "You buy the land." Boaz turned to the elders and said to the crowd standing around, "You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon," the two sons, "and all the land that I have acquired, and with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in this hometown, in his hometown. You are all witnesses today." A lot happened with witnesses, you know. It wasn't like we had cameras and that sort of thing to take pictures. The elders and all the people standing in the gate said, "We are witnesses." And then they pronounce a blessing. "May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman, who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar in Judah." So So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. The Lord let her become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. The women told Naomi, "Praise the Lord who gave you this grandson. May he become famous in Israel. He will give you new life and will take care of you in your old age because of your daughter-in-law who loves you. Your daughter-in-law is better for you than seven sons because she has given birth to your grandson." Naomi took the boy and held him in her arms and cared for him. The neighbors gave the boy the name, saying, "This boy was born for Naomi." They named him Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. Back in 2006, Sandy and I got to go to Israel, and these are the fields of Ruth and Boaz. I shared this last week, but I want to share it again. God rescued Ruth, brought her to himself. And what did he do with her? He used her to bring rescue to all of us, because through her, King David was born, and ultimately, King Jesus was born. Through Ruth, we have salvation in a distant way. Through her distant relative who died for our sins and rose again on the third day. In the same way, God took us from wherever we were, rescued us, brought us into his family. And what does he expect now? That we do the same thing Ruth did, that we go out and rescue others, that we share Christ by whatever means we can, that we tell this world there is a risen Savior. There is a Savior who can take a Naomi who becomes a Mara, whose entire life in her eyes was devastated. And yet that devastated life became what? Salvation for the world. Two principles I want to lay on those of you who follow Jesus Christ. First of all, if you become a Mara person because the Lord has dealt bitterly with you and you feel rejected by God as Naomi Mara did, what if that devastation is just the ticket into his blessing? What if you find a Mara? Then be like Boaz, who through simple acts of kindness also participated in the salvation of the whole world. Through simple acts of kindness. Jesus Christ, it is said, went about just doing good. It's a whole lot of good he did in 3 short years of ministry. And he brought us to the same God that Naomi and Ruth got to know. Do you know that God?